guess what we're going to get if we're faithful unto death? See, we get a victor's crown. We get a victor's crown, a crown of righteousness, a crown of life, and a crown of glory. So isn't that, you know, you think about how, wait a minute, Jesus was here on earth and they mocked him. His was a crown of shame, but we get a crown of life, a crown of rejoicing, a crown of righteousness. Let's remember these things. Let's go to Matthew, the 27th chapter and the 29th verse. This will, Matthew 27 and 29, this will remind us of what Jesus went through when he was there on the cross and how they mocked him is what they did. They plaited a crown of thorns. They put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and they mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." So we recognize in this instance, like we were saying, this was it was a point of humiliation. Their intent was to just, "Oh, you say you're the King of the Jews, so we're just going to, here's your crown. Here's this. We're going to put this reed in your hand and we're going to pay homage to you as the king." So it was all an attempt to just try to make the what he was already going through. We already know everything that he went through even to get to that point. We've talked about that in times past of how it was difficult for him even to get to that place. So here he's hanging on the cross for mankind, for the very ones that were mocking him and making fun of them. He's on a cross dying in their behalf and they're just making fun of him. Just making it even worse. Just for ridicule. They're just trying to ridicule him, that, you know, as a way of they were just pretending like this, they're just making a mockery of it. And that's not all that they did. In another place, in Mark, the 15th chapter and the 17th verse, it talks about how they clothed him with purple. And then they put the crown on his head. And then they put they plaited a crown of thorn on his head. So we know putting on that robe, it was meant for royalty, right? Purple, it's another one of those things, like a crown. Those that are in a high and lofty position, so they were just making a mockery of this whole thing. Put a reed in his hand, put a scarlet robe on his back, and just trying to just make it even worse for him. So in thinking about us, when we get to the end of the way, if we're faithful unto death, then we'll have a crown. But just signifying the difference, our Lord and Savior, he was mocked in what he did for each and every one of us. Oh, but when we get to heaven, see, we're going to get a crown. Now let's talk about the crown that we can achieve by the help and by the grace of God. We can have a crown. There's different definition. There's a crown of righteousness, there's a crown of life, and there's a crown of glory, and all of these have been purchased for us by God. All the things that he went through in this life when he was here was for us to be able to have the privilege to have when we get to the end of the way, that we get a crown. But you know what? We got to work for it. We got to work for it. Let's go to 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and the 7th and 8th verses. 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8.
"I have fought a good fight."
He said, "I have fought a good fight.
I have finished my course.
I have finished my course. I have kept the faith.
Henceforth
there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness,
which the Lord,
The righteous judge shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. I take note of several things about this particular verse. The writer says, I fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. I fought a good fight. And I've kept the faith. So I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. Now I got something special that's been laid up for me. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. So if it's laid up for me, it's already ready, right? It's prepared specifically for me. So that was that now I have. Now it's up to me now. Am I going to go claim it? Right? So now, I don't know how often we think about this, but I have a crown that's waiting for me. I don't know what's going to happen to the crowns for those that don't claim theirs. Maybe, but you know what? Everything is going to be clear and bright. It's not going to be my concern. So it's not really anything that I'm going to have to worry about. My concern is claiming the crown that has my name on it. But it's laid up there. That means it's waiting for me. Now I have to go and claim it. In the Amplified, it says, as to what remains, henceforth there is laid up for me the victor's crown of righteousness. So what is this? What is this for? The writer said for being right with God, but not just being right with God and doing right, right? And making sure that, Lord, I want to make sure that all is clear between me and thee, and that I'm following everything that you require me to follow. So I'm being right with God and doing right, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award. So you know what? That lets me to know that I don't have to be concerned about somebody else. Because there's a righteous judge that's going to be handing out the crowns. I don't think he's going to need my help. Let me help you find your crown. No, he'll take care of that. Right? I don't have to worry. Well, let me go get your crown. And no, he'll take care of that. The righteous judge will take care of those things. So he's going to be there and he will award it. He's going to be the one. I mean, I don't know how it's all going to work, but when we get there, we'll find out. But I'm assured he's going to be the one putting the crowns on. Amen. He said, the writer said, he will award to me and recompense me to that day, and not to me only, but to all those who have loved and yearned for and welcomed his appearing and his return. Amen. So I think about how these things relate together. Now, it seemed like in my mind, I saw a math equation in this verse. Maybe you didn't see it like that, but I saw good fight plus keep the faith equals a crown of righteousness. Your mind might not work like that, but just know that you have two responsibilities, right? To fight a good fight and to keep the faith. And you know that if you do that, then God will take care of giving you the crown of righteousness, right? So we can, and again, we talk about it as being laid up there. It's waiting for me. But in order to get to it, I got to meet the conditions. I want to claim the crown that's been laid up for me. He said, I got to fight a good fight and I got to keep the faith. Well, what if I just fight a good fight, though? I could fight real good. And what if my faith falters? Well, they said you got to do both, right? I suppose you could keep the faith, but not fight very hard. I don't see how that could work out. But you got the two of them work together, right? So that's the condition. You want the crown of righteousness? Fight a good fight and keep the faith. Well, you know, you might say then, well, I don't like that. That why is there conditions? You're trying to get to his heaven, right? You trying to get the crown that he has laid up for you, then you got to follow his conditions. Actually, you know, when you think about it, there's conditions on everything. Think about life. Some of us have vehicles, right? How is your vehicle going? If you just, every time you get in it, you start it up, you slam your foot on the gas, slam your foot on the brake, and you never get the oil changed, and you never do anything to it. It's going to last forever, huh? Oh, so you mean there's conditions to driving a car? You mean I got to make sure that I have gas? I got to keep gas in it? Or plug it in, I guess, to nowadays. Like, right? What if I... So is that a condition? Oh, okay. There's conditions. We go to work, right? Is there conditions on your job? Are there just times where you can say, you know what? You know what? Tomorrow I'm feeling like something will be hurting. I'm not going to come in. You do that a couple times. Guess what? You ain't going to have a job. There's conditions on everything. Think about it. There's conditions in relationships. Right? So, you know, how is it so hard for us to fathom meeting God's conditions that he has given us in his word? So we want to get to heaven. This is what you got to do to get there. Why do we have a problem with it? There's a condition on everything. So we don't have a condition with the things of this life and this world, but we have a problem with his? Doesn't make sense, right? So he said, fight a good fight, keep the faith, and I got a crown laid up for you. When I get to the end of the way, am I going to be concerned about how many times I had to fight? It don't matter. At that point, it's not going to matter. You know, even, you know, we talk inanimate, just like these, we got conditions on clothes, right? I'm just like, you could say it about anything. What do you do to them? You wash them, don't you? Oh, you wash your clothes? Oh, why? Because if you don't, right? You folks going to be, why is there a big old gap between us? When's the last time you wash your clothes? Oh, you wash your clothes. Right? You get a big old stain on it. You just, oh, well. Right? You come walking in, a big old stain on your clothes. I mean, conditions, right? Fight a good fight. Keep the faith. I got laid up for you a crown of righteousness. Let's go to another verse. Talk about the crown of righteousness. What about the crown of life? The crown of life. James, the first chapter and the 12th verse.
Blessed is the man that endureth temptation,
for when he is tried,
he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. What does it mean? Does that endure mean that I just fold? No, it doesn't. See, endure means to remain firm under suffering or misfortune without yielding. So now, here again, I can't help it. I just see it. I see another math equation in here. Blessed is the man that if I endure temptation and when I'm tried and if I'm faithful, then I'll receive. What am I? I'm going to get a crown of life, which the Lord has promised. He promised that. You know, it's just, well, you mean, there goes another condition. I have to endure. Well, you know what? When you think about it, that's just better for you anyways.
Right? It's just better to fight through and not yield to temptation. It's bad. It's going to work out for you now, and it'll work out for you later. There's this, you know, we think about the story in the Bible of the prodigal son. Did he endure temptation? He just gave in, didn't he? He gave in to everything, and it just worked out okay. Didn't work out too well for him, did he? You know, you saw all the trouble he got himself into, and thank God he came to his senses, and he said, why am I doing all this? But you know what? So it's just better. It's just better to remain firm through whatever. Just don't yield. Just stand firm. And you know what? The brother talked about it last week. He's a present help. You know, it's not a matter of if I'm going to face temptation, it's going to happen. But we have a God who's a present help for us in whatever time of need. So when we're fighting against the enemy, we're up against a struggle, something coming up against us, we can call on the Lord and he can help us out. And he'll be right there with us every step of the way. The writer said this of this verse, to be approved of God is the great aim of a Christian. Yes. Right? Isn't that right? That we want God's stamp of approval on us to say, that's my child. So we can sing that song, that I'm his child, his own loving child, that we can say that, but he can say that of us. He can say, that's my child. That's my child. So it's our aim to be approved of God in all of our trials. And the writer said this, the tried Christian shall be a crowned Christian. Right? So as you're going through trials and tests of life, as you're resisting temptation, just keep in mind, I got a crown waiting for me. See, if I continue to be faithful, I can claim my crown. It's waiting for me when I get there. I'll receive a crown of life and I'll get to wear it. I'll get to wear it. You know, sometimes in this, I don't know how it's going to be. But, you know, sometimes in this life, you have something on your head. After a while, you want to take it off. I just kind of get to, I don't know. I just think that's something we're going to wear. We're just going to wear it and just keep on wearing it. I mean, once I gain the things that we go through in this life to get it, when you get it, you put it on and leave it on. Going to wear it through eternity. So the thing is, think about it this way. The things that we have to go through in this life to get to the end of the way, they're just for a period of time. But that crown is for eternity. And when you compare the two, there's no comparison. I know it's hard for us to fathom, you know, because we live in everything about our life is finite. There's a beginning and an end to everything, right? But eternity has no end. So that crown, I'll have it for eternity. Amen. So I talk about a crown of righteousness. All right, we talked about a crown of life, but there's something else about that crown. It's going to fade not away. You know, wait a minute. You know, even in the finite of our life, everything that we have only lasts for so long. Let's go here. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter and the 4th verse.
And when the chief shepherd shall appear,
ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So I'm going to have a crown that's going to never get old throughout all eternity. I know that's hard for us to understand. It's hard for us to fathom, but think it will. God said it is going to be so.
That's right.
I know we're in our life, anything that we have that we may obtain, no matter how well we take care of it, at some point in time, it's going to reach its end of life. Right? I mean, I have some clothes that I've had for a while. But you know what? They get a little thin. Get a little faded. Can't wear them maybe as often as I used to. And some of them is just in the drawer. But you know, there's a lifespan, right? It's going to reach a time where, you know, it's worn out. Doesn't matter. Vehicles, whatever it is. And even these old bodies. Right? We can do all we can, and I think we should, to take care of them. It's the temple that God gave us. But you know what? There's a saying that talks about Father Time is undefeated. You know, you think about athletes and all these things. They have a life. There's a certain span that they have. No matter how well they take care of their body, there's a point in time where that body starts to break down. And it, you know what? And that's it. But you're talking about a crown of life. A crown of glory. A crown of glory. That means you went through some things. You came through victorious. But that crown of glory, that faded not away. I don't know, you know, sometimes things here, you got to shine it up and polish it and all that. I don't know how that's all going to work. But I just seem like we don't have to worry about that. We're going to have to worry somehow. This crown is going to just last through eternity and look just as good and as we go through eternity as it did when we first saw it. I don't know, fathom that in your mind, but that's what the word says. It says a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, is that enough for you? We're going to talk about a little bit more. We're talking about he said, now, we have a prepared place.
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
We talking about, didn't we sing about a city this morning? Yes. Huh? We talked about a city this morning that God promised to us, all right, with his handiwork. And just with a mansion, maybe one. Let's give a little real preview of what. Let's just read a few scriptures here that talks about what else is waiting for us at the end of the way. If we're true and faithful, if we fight a good fight, lay hold onto eternal life, if we endure temptation and remain faithful, what a reward that is waiting for us at the end of the way. Matthew, the 5th chapter and the 12th verse.
Rejoice.
Rejoice.
And be exceedingly glad.
And be exceedingly glad.
For great is your reward in heaven.
Great is your reward in heaven.
So persecuted they the prophets before you.
This is for context. You talk about the Beatitudes. Blessed. Blessed are they that do all these things. We can read through that, but know that here's the reward. For being faithful through this life is that you can rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for you will have a reward in heaven. So there's a great, it says, great is your reward in heaven. You know what it said? Wait a minute. Great is your reward in heaven. I started reading about that, and it seemed like, that seems like there's multiple things happening there. Right? Great is your reward in heaven. So heaven is a reward, right? But it seemed like there's a greater reward. I don't know, like a reward on top of a reward. I might not be able to fully explain it, but there's something in there that it's going to be a reward just being there. That's a reward. But it says something about great is your reward in heaven. Maybe that's the crown. I don't know. But you know what? It's got me enough to know. I want to find out. I want to find out. It's a help to me now in this life, but I want to get to that great, great reward in heaven. So it seemed like a double reward. I don't know. But, well, that's what the word says. Great is your reward in heaven. All right? Let's go to another verse. Hebrews 11 and 10. Talking about the end of the way now. This is what's awaiting us if we're faithful.
For he looked for a city which hath foundations.
For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Now we already know what God is capable of because he's given us this world for all of his creation. Now let me just go with me here for a little while. If God gave us this beautiful world that we live in for his creation, for all of mankind to enjoy, what do you think he's going to do for those that have been true and faithful to him, that has accepted his gift of salvation and endeavored by the grace of God to live in a way that's pleasing and honoring and acceptable to him through trial and test of life? What do you think he's going to have prepared for us? I just know what. The only thing I can think in my little finite mind is going to be better than this. It says he looketh for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And this is the way the one writer said it. He knew that earth could afford no permanent resident for an immortal soul. So he looked for that heavenly building, which God is the architect and owner. In a word, he lost sight of earth that he might keep heaven in view. You let your mind just whatever you can understand. But just recognize that God has a special place prepared for us. Let's look at two other verses as it relates to this prepared place that God has for us. Talked about, he promised it. We know it's going to have his handiwork, right? Because he's the builder and the maker of it. So what else is going to be there? 2 Corinthians 2. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 5 and 1.
For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved.
For if we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God,
a house not made with hands,
eternal in the heavens. You know what? In my mind, this scripture, it seems like it has multiple meanings here in terms of recognizing that, you know what, this earthly tabernacle is our bodies. For we know that the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. So that's our bodies, that recognizing we have a building of God and a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So that's why we need a new body, see? Well, we need a new resurrected body and a habitation for our never dying soul. So it seemed like there's multiple things. My house not made with hands. And think about this. How each of us was created. God set it in motion, but we're created. What houses our body comes from man, right? From man and woman. Man and woman, you understand what I'm saying, right? But it's formed by mankind. It's made of what makes up mankind. So our new body that we're going to receive is going to be made. And I recognize that God formed man with his hands, right, when he made Adam. But recognize the body that we're going to receive going to be made by God's hands. It's like, I know it's kind of, you try to fathom that, but it's different. It's going to be different than the body that was formed that we are aware of. I just know the body that you have now is not going to have the same body when you get to heaven. What is it going to be like? I don't know. But it's going to be different from this body. And we'll understand why later on, because, again, it's going to have to last through eternity. How is it going to be fashioned? You know what? The writer said, all those things that are being mysterious will be clear and as bright as the day. It'll be all made clear to us, but we got to get there by the help and grace of God. So we, in order to get that body not made with hands, it has to separate from this body. That's why these body, they only last a certain period of time, because then that soul has to go back to God where it belongs. So a new body. How about some mentions? Huh? What about John 14 and 2? There going to be some mansions up there? Maybe just one mansion, one big mansion. What does the word say?
In my Father's house
are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He said, in my Father, Jesus here speaking, in my Father's house are many mansions. How many is many? I don't know. But it's going to be a lot. Many. That word can have a vast meaning. But it's going to be enough for all of us to get there. He said, if it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. Not one promise has he broken. Faithful to his trust is he. If he said it, it's true. And we can stand on it and believe it. Talking about a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. His house, who is the King of kings and Lords of lords, who dwells in light and inhabits eternity. What do you think that mansion is going to be like? We're talking about Almighty God. In heaven, there are accommodations for particular saints, the writer says. Our individuality will not be lost. The writer said every Israelite had his lot in Canaan. And every elder a seat. God, you know, it really makes sense, doesn't it? Because we think about how God works with each and every one of us individually. We're all different. God doesn't deal with Brother Henry the same way he deals with me. We're different people. So in God, in preparing a place for us, that's not going to be lost. So now, many mansions, that kind of makes sense. You know, I like certain things. You like maybe different things. God, who knows us better than God? Nobody. So he's going to prepare a place for us. Many mansions. When I get to the end of the way, I get to heaven. Mansions. My crown. But you know what? I got to be faithful now. I got to be faithful now. The toils of the road will seem nothing when I get to the end of the way. When I get to the end of the way.
I appreciate your time and your attention this morning. I'm going to close with a scripture reading. And I want you to take note of what is said in these few verses. But my encouragement to you this morning, don't be discouraged along the way. Continue and remain faithful by the help and by the grace of God. And my other thing to you this morning, if you haven't got started, now is the time. Now is the accepted time. If you haven't, don't know God like you ought to know him or you want to know him, there's no better time than now than to get started. Because in order to get to the end of the way, you got to start somewhere. But I want us to try to understand and comprehend. We've talked about a crown of righteousness and talked about how heaven is a prepared place for us. Revelation 21, 1 through 4. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and he shall be his people. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for all the former things are passed away. May God bless the reading of his word.